VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It is again Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, at this time on Saturday mornings, alive and well, perky, and full of all kinds of good stories and some weeks good news like this one. And we'll get through it if the news isn't good, but we sure have a lot more fun when the news is good. So to the regulars, welcome back. I think we're always happy to know that those people are out there week after week, and we hear about it a lot these days. But even more fun, perhaps, is that there are new people listening every week. So anybody who is a first-time listener, try to stick around for the whole thing. I promise you, you'll learn something. Everybody does. We learn things every week just by being here. So it's, I hope it's kind of contagious, rub off on everybody. There's so much misinformation, so much stupidity. As I said last week, I live my life in search of some kind of intelligent life in the universe out there. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the term MSN. It stands for Main Street Media, or Mainstream Media, or Lamestream Media, if you want to change it to the popular term. There's so much, just so much out there that is so egregious, and I got a couple of good ones today that I'll bring to you. It's a wonder to me that some of these people continue to have jobs, but sure makes my life more fun. So that said, it was a week full of lots of news, but of course, what's the most important thing that's going on in the entire world today, as it has been for some time? China.
No doubt about it. It's hard to believe we're back within 2% of the all-time high on the S&P 500. And that was only thanks to a rally based on potential good news with the China deal that came later in the week. And I don't know if I can believe it or not. I mean, I don't know if anyone knows. It's hard to say. Earlier in the week, the market was falling on China news, and then it was rising on China news, or lack of news, speculation maybe.
Last time we got here was, what, May this year? And then suddenly China just reneged.
Right.
So they can do that to you.
They have done it, so we'll see.
That's the proof.
But obviously the market is really highly anticipating this event. One way or another, it's going to have a major effect on the market. Right now, signs point to good news. I think that this week, from what we can piece together based on tweets and other random bits of information, it appears that the two sides have realized that this is a way bigger deal than what they initially thought it might be. And maybe a series of smaller deals is a better solution to the problem than one big comprehensive deal, which I think makes a lot of sense.
When you can have one issue upset an entire huge trade agreement,
right,
you're doing something incorrectly.
Exactly, exactly. So if there's one sticking point, the whole deal's off. No, that's not, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's find the easy stuff, the low hanging fruit, and then tackle the bigger challenges later once we get the smaller things out of the way.
Plus, this one's easier to monitor because making a deal with China, it may not be the hard part.
Yeah.
Having them stick to it might be the hard part.
Yeah, but is that really important? I mean,
well, they've never done it, so it's hard to say.
Yeah. And I think a lot of this has become so symbolic of just the relationship between the two countries and optimism, and it to me, them sticking with it is less important than actually cutting the deal. I could be wrong.
I could make that argument very well.
So thanks to the second half of the week, the Dow and the NASDAQ ended up just under 1%, and the S&P added about 0.6%. October is turning out to be a pretty good month for stocks, as the indexes are all up more than 1% 2 weeks in. So surprising, but makes me happy.
Shocking.
Yeah. The best performing sector this week was our old friend technology, which we've been saying that a lot over the last couple of years. It gained just under 2%. The second best performing sector was communication services. That's something we haven't been saying a lot over the last 2 years, although I was kind of surprised to see that communication services is actually putting together a pretty nice year, up 22%, and tech is the number one, up over 33%.
The best indicator for all those things, though, is what's happening on the semiconductor market.
Yeah, which has been pretty positive lately.
That's a leading indicator.
That had not been the case as little as a year ago.
Yep, everybody depends on them in the tech industry.
So the second leading sector for the year was pretty surprising. That's utilities, which up over 24%. Really kind of a strange trade there. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't like that action either.
The laggards have been healthcare and energy, both of which are under fire politically for very different reasons. But you're hearing a lot about that from the candidates running for Democrat nominations, and not very favorable news if you're going to vote that way. You probably, if you're going to vote Democrat, don't be invested in energy or in healthcare
or the stock market in general, or banks, or anything.
Tech. I mean, they're going after everything, basically. Internationally, stocks rallied somewhat this week, with China and adding 4.5%, Mexico up 3.3%, and most major markets gaining around 1%. Even Europe got in a little bit on the action this week. Emerging markets showed some signs of life, finally, gaining 2.5%. Commodities also got in on the rally, except for natural gas, which dropped by 4.5%. It's been really volatile this year.
You just can't try to make money in that sector.
No,
it's so
tough.
Weird.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to follow any news cycle, or I can't figure it out.
But the general sector of commodities, it makes a lot of sense if you look at the dollar, which is finally backing off.
Right.
It's been all year making new highs, and you can't get anywhere with commodities with a strong dollar.
Yeah, gold and silver added to their gains for the year, and oil gained 1% as well. So the commodities basket was positive for the week, but natural gas was a big drag on it. One area that didn't see gains this week was fixed income, which dropped as yields started to rise, which is pretty good news, actually. In fact, part of the yield curve even uninverted this week after 79 days of inversion. So it's not fully uninverted, but it is trending that way, which is good to see, finally. And steepening as well, which we desperately need.
So in our research this morning, I come across a line that says, but steepening of the yield curve usually is a bad indicator for the market. Huh? From what? If you got a normal curve and it steepens, yeah, it probably is.
That's true, yeah.
Because that's telling you something different than having an inverted curve go back to normal. That's a whole different story.
We do want to see that thing get back to normal, and also yields rise. They're way too low right now, in my opinion.
Agreed, and I think they're going to do it again.
It's very, very likely, I would say. So the market was able to rally on the China news this week despite some fairly disappointing economic data. We saw several reports tied to inflation this week, and none of them was any good. Both CPI and PPI missed relative to expectations. They still showed gains in prices, but the gains are really slowing, and that's the opposite of what should be happening in a strong economy. Now, if you're a consumer, that sounds like good news, but it's bad news for the economy, so I would prefer that prices rise.
You'll see it.
We've been saying that for a long time, though, haven't we?
All of this China trade deal especially, there's been a lot of items, a lot of businesses, people, agriculture, everything's been postponing things.
Yeah.
Waiting to see. Now we got a $50 billion order for food in China. There's going to be some tractors humming around here pretty soon. So
yeah,
I
look
for that
to
self-correct.
A lot of it's sentiment, too. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the misses that meant virtually nothing because they were little tiny things. I wouldn't go by the economic numbers we're getting right now in the face of all the uncertainty. A little more on this after the break, then we'll get into some other topics, including the trivia question as soon as we come back. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banway.
And I'm Adam Banway.
And the trivia question for this week, brought to you as usual by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, business or residential, makes no difference to him. Let's see, last week we talked about one particular thing that was bothering me, and that was that the market really hasn't done anything under Trump for the past 2 years. And I mentioned that in the office, we had just been looking at a chart of the market, and for those last 2 years, it was definitely up. Now, if you carefully select 2 points, you can find some periods of time when the market has dropped and then gotten back and then maybe gone up a little and pulled back a little, because we're not at a new high right now, but we're close. But I hate the way the media tailors these headlines and stories to make it seem very negative on the administration. So I found a new one this morning. It said, the market has done nothing for the past 18 months. So I went back 18 months to the day and looked at the S&P 500, and I found out that the answer was not zero. So my trivia question for everybody today is, how much has the S&P 500 changed in 18 months? What direction and what percentage? And I'll take it, as usual, within one percentage point. Either way, you know it is not minus one or plus one, because I told you it's not zero, and I'm giving you that much latitude. So all you got to do is figure out a direction and a percentage, and then we'll explain why that's important, at least in my eyes. Also, last week, we talked about Fidelity Investments. There are several large custodians, as you know, people who take care of money for clients' money and deal with investors, advisors and investors. We personally use TD Ameritrade. Schwab's also a big one. Fidelity's also a big one. And you probably remember that Schwab first and then followed by TD dropped their, they call them commissions, we call them trading fees or ticket charges for the stocks and ETFs. And it was largely not going to affect us anyway, because we do so many that were already free on the platform that we use for TD. But it's really good news for consumers. Why would you want to pay 8, 6, 7, 4, 5, whatever dollars that you didn't have to pay? So we were very complimentary. But we did say Fidelity is holding because they had been the lowest at $4.95. And we predicted right away that they were going to have to join the crowd. And what happened this week?
They joined the fray.
Me too.
Yep.
Yep. How about that?
So they estimate that Schwab estimated they would lose about $100 million in revenue per quarter. TD anticipates up to $240 million per quarter. And E-Trade said that their revenue would have been approximately $75 million higher per quarter.
Now, it defies logic to say they're just going to settle for that. They're not. They're going to be looking for ways to enhance the revenues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they're going to come from, but when it happens, we will report. I don't think it will affect normal investors at all, except the way it already has, which is a very positive thing. How about that? Now, speaking of such things, it's only marginally related, but we were talking about Fidelity. Guess what has happened? Fidelity says that the number of 401k millionaires has hit another record high.
It keeps doing that.
It keeps doing that. This market, since, let's say, the 2016 election or so, has been creating people's accounts, 401k accounts, that have a million. They've been coming out of the woodwork. A lot of these people probably just 3 years ago might have been over 500,000, maybe under 800,000, but you add on the numbers, like, have been adding up, and all of a sudden we have more millionaires in their 401ks than ever. But underlying all that, there's a piece of really good news. That is that the contribution rates have been rising and are up a full percentage point since that time. And if there's one thing that's going to make a difference to the average person over a long investing period, it's raising that contribution rate. You should get as much money in there as you possibly can and let it grow for as long as you possibly can. Those are the only secrets to success that cannot be violated. You can never go wrong by putting more money in and leaving it there longer.
At least it's true.
You'd have to change the world as we know it. So congratulations, 401k people. You are doing a good job. By the way, it increased to 196,000 in this country.
Wow.
That's a lot of people with a million bucks.
That is.
Yeah. Really cool.
So that's the good news for retirees. The bad news is that Social Security announced what their cost of living adjustment was going to be this year. Yeah. Last year it was, 2.8%? This year, not so much, 1.6%, and that's all you're going to get. And then they're going to eat into that, because guess what's going up? Your Medicare.
Oh, gee, what could it be?
Yeah, your Medicare is going to rise. So the net effect of that is you aren't going to get a lot more money next year than you got this year. So sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that's what it is.
Well, you know that, well, rules first. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
What's happening today?
Oh, just sitting there in the garage listening to you guys like normal.
You either have the best equipped garage or it's, oh,
it's
the cleanest one ever.
Sure. It's a man cave for sure.
I kind of figured there's another name for it.
Yeah. yeah, I want to take a shot at trivia.
Go for
sure.
It.
All right. Well, the direction of the S&P 500 has been up.
That's half the battle.
About 18 months, but I'm a total guess at it for 2.5%.
Well, that would be a pretty good guess based on all the headlines, wouldn't it? But it's too low.
Too low?
Yeah. How about that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're on an uptrend, so you've solved half of the riddle, and now we know that it's enough more than that, that 1% doesn't bring it in. So if everybody who's listening now, you've narrowed the range quite a bit.
Yes. Somebody had to do it.
Somebody did. It's always good to have a guinea pig.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate it.
Great show, guys. Love listening to you every Saturday.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of Social Security, for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about what determines your Social Security. There are two things that are important. The earnings over your lifetime are the front-end input, and they do not include anybody else. It's just you, and the exception to that can happen for married people if there's a big disparity, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the pure, simple determination of how much benefit you're going to get. So that's very important, but also equally important is how much you can keep, and that applies when it comes to Medicare. As Adam said, it's going up again, so you'll get your little tiny increases once again, and most of you will probably lose all or part of it to Medicare. Now, thank God there's a rule out there that says they can't raise Medicare more than the raise you got in your benefit. So you can't go backwards, except under one condition. What if you had a really good year together, if there's two of you, and are filing jointly, and all of a sudden you break above one of those income ranges where they start to charge you more under what's called IRMA, which is the incremental monthly price increase. That's the only way to put it. So you can actually, as I have noticed over time, you can actually wind up collecting next year's Social Security, getting less of it than you got the year before, even though you got a raise. And to me, I don't have to finish that sentence, do I?
No.
No. It should feel the same to everybody. On the other hand, I'm not here to tell you what the rules should be so much as to just point out what they actually are, because that's important to you. Can your Social Security be garnished? That is yet another way that you can have less Social Security than you thought. And this came up because my crack research department the other day brought me a little thing that said only $750 of Social Security is protected. And I thought, well, that's very odd, isn't it? So I did a little research and found out that that is sort of true, but where you live plays a big role in that sort of thing. We live in Florida, and let me tell you, if you needed another excuse to live in Florida, I'll give you one.
I did not.
I did not either, but maybe some of you are thinking of, quote, going home. We see this once in a while. People come in, they've retired to Florida, and they miss the snow or whatever the heck. And I say, if they want to go, good riddance. But that's another story. Anyway, what I have found is that Florida does some things really, really well. And one of the things that they do so well is they protect your income from Social Security 100%. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
Question. Yep. Do you think that the earnings expectations for the following few weeks are so low that even if the companies meet the expectations, the stocks are going to grind higher or do you think the expectations are about right?
Well, that is, I've got about 50 seconds left before the break. Can you hold through the break and we'll get into the yes. weeds on this a little bit right after?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll put you on hold. That's a good question, because it's something that Adam and I were wrestling with this morning, trying to decide. Earnings season hasn't formally started yet, but there are some companies that reported, and you can't really extrapolate too much what's happened
no,
so far.
Not really.
But the pattern is very interesting. Anyway, I just want to wrap up the Social Security thing. Florida will protect you, your homestead, your retirement assets, and your Social Security. So don't worry about this ever happening to you. As long as you keep your residence here, you are golden. So how about that for good news? All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back shortly. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to reiterate the trivia question. Despite rumors to the contrary, the last 18 months in the market have been on an uptrend, as we found out from Jim. And the question is, by how much to the nearest percent? And we know it's bigger than 2. By at least 1. So without any delay, let's get back to Chuck. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. So what do you think the setup is on earnings season? Do you think the expectations are really low?
Adam has kind of a good analysis of that. I'm just going to have him jump right in and tell everybody what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, so right now, and I think this is what you're alluding to, Chuck, the analysts have been lowering expectations twice as much as they've been raising expectations for companies. So and that's been kind of the trend over the last year, is that lowering expectations going into earnings seasons, which makes it easier to beat the expectations. So you see a lot more surprises to the upside on earnings, but that doesn't always translate into a stocks going up, because the market may be expecting something totally different than what the analysts are expecting. So the real thing that I expect during this earnings season is that earnings aren't going to matter that much. If the China deal gets done, the market's going to go up. And if it doesn't get done, the market's going to go down. And you will see some companies get rewarded for doing well, but and vice versa. But honestly, I don't think that's going to be the primary driver of the market, unfortunately, because I like markets that trade on earnings. I don't like it when the market reacts to politics or extraneous information. But it happens all the time. We see it very regularly.
It's always short term, but it happens frequently.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts, Chuck?
Well, I mean, you got this dichotomy. You got Microsoft and you got Apple at all-time highs, mm-hmm. and then you got Amazon and Facebook getting crushed. Nowhere near their all-time highs. So it's really hard to gauge, because some techs are doing great and others are not.
Correct.
And the cloud stocks have been clobbered this quarter, or at least the previous quarter, I should say. So those are high-growth companies. I don't know what the setup is. I know Jim Cramer talked about how that companies that have reported better than feared is a factor, and I don't know if that's going to be the sentiment in this quarter with the earnings season. If the earnings are better than feared, is going to raise the stock price.
If you want to really get confused, look at the retail sector. There are some retailers that are just blowing the top off of everything sales wise and then there's some others going bankrupt. Yeah. it's very difficult to make recommendations along those lines. It's just so weird out there. We're in a sea change of the way people buy, and it has been that way pretty much since the internet has been introduced into everybody's homes. But a lot of the old traditional bricks and mortar are just not cutting it anymore, and the ones that are, Target and Walmart, are doing it because they have gotten so aggressive with their online sales. So they're going to be fine, but I don't think I'd like to own the ETF for all retail right now. It's just too many black clouds in it. So I don't know. The interesting part, I think there's only 22 companies that have reported so far. 81% have beaten on earnings. but only 41 have beaten on revenues. And does that make any sense to anybody? Or is it me? I don't know. It just seems very confusing to me. Maybe they overshot on the revenue estimates.
I mean, but
don't know.
Again, that trend has been going on for quite some time.
Has,
beating on earnings and not beating on revenue is not anything new.
And I don't know if that's partly reflective of not having a lot of pricing power out there. It seems to me that pricing power should be going up a bit because the unemployment rate is down to 3.5, and they're hiring people whenever they can. The jolts went way down, the openings over the number of people, but there's still more jobs available and there are people looking. So that should be an upward pressure on labor costs. And yet that didn't show up last month.
Nope.
In fact, it was quite the opposite of that. So every time you think you got a handle on what's about to happen, something comes in goofy. And it's very, very difficult. All I can tell you is we're staying really well diversified and we're getting rewarded for that. Who knows? We'll know a lot more in 3 weeks than we do now, that's for sure.
Yeah, another trend we're seeing right now, too, is rotation out of growth into value again.
Mm-hmm.
Not 100%, but it is. We did see our dividend ETFs outperform our growth ETFs mm-hmm. last quarter. So yeah. that was a pleasant surprise for us because we're heavily dividend
oriented. Yeah, our clientele is older than it is younger, so to speak, and they get a lot more interested in the dividend aspects of investing. As people get older, they want a little less volatility, a little more income. So it's working out very well for people like us. But in answer to your question, it's confusing. It's just very, very confusing, which doesn't help you a whole bunch, I know. What's your thoughts here?
Let me take a shot at the trivia question.
Yeah, sure.
Without looking at any charts or anything, yeah. I'm just going to guess and say 6%.
That's a pretty good guess, but you're still too low, even with the margin of error.
Okay.
And I am making a point here. So you'll be pleasantly surprised when I get done with it, I think. Anyway, that's about it on that front. Stay tuned for the next few weeks. This China thing's going to come along at the exact same time that earnings season picks up, and let's see who wins. Maybe they'll both be good news. Didn't look out. New highs are right around the corner if that happens.
I don't know. I'm not extremely optimistic about this quarter. I am about the fourth quarter, but third quarter, I'm not.
Yeah, the retail sales, Christmas sales and so on, everything from travel to merchandise should be fantastic this year because there are a lot of people working and a lot of people with some money. That,
you know,
that I could predict.
The wild card out there is Elizabeth Warren. If she's the nominee, oh my.
Look out.
Yeah. Yep. Whoa.
That is going to be a real conundrum for a lot of people. Not for me, of course.
I mean,
wouldn't have voted for her if she gave me all the money in Washington, D.C.
We might turn in from an all-long shop into a short-everything shop.
Exactly. Not that I think she'd be elected anyway, but I tell you, I'm not going to predict the left anymore.
Honestly, there is not one policy that she has proposed that would be good for business of any kind. Yes. I can't think of one.
She is formerly a Republican, you know. At least that's what her resume said.
Yeah.
But it also said she was Native American, so who are you going to believe? All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Oh, man, when politics gets in the way of investing, it's always a circus, isn't it?
No doubt about it. I've been pleasantly surprised at the lack of market reaction to the impeachment news, so that's been a good thing. At least it's focused on something that has an actual effect on the market, which is the China negotiations.
Yep. You ever pay off a mortgage or anything like that? Those of you who track your credit scores? I've seen this happen where somebody decided they're going to pay off their mortgage, and then they come in and talk to us and say, I paid off my mortgage, and my credit score dropped 50 points.
50 points?
Yeah, dropped. And it actually will do that, 10 to 50 points, according to Clark Howard, it'll drop. And it's a weird little condition of how the FICO scores are created, and it will actually drop you down. Your new credit is 10%, credit mix is 10%, payment history is 35%, amount owed is 30%. cut that down, it takes away. Length of credit history. Your mortgage is sometimes a very long. If you're paying it off, it's usually a long-running thing. All those things will work against you. Fear not, though. It will be back, and it will be back fairly soon. Within 3 to 6 months, it all should come back. Don't panic. I've had a couple people panic when because they paid off something, a car loan earlier, a mortgage even bigger. So if it ever happens to you, just relax. It's not a real big issue. A similar situation, perhaps, is the new Ultra FICO score, and I don't know if anybody's heard of these, but the Ultra FICO can help you if you have a low credit rating, but you have to be willing to share bank account information and that sort of thing, which can only be done voluntarily. So if you look into it and look up Ultra FICO and read about it, if your credit score needs help so you can get a better deal on a mortgage or something like that, that is a potential way that you can actually do that. How about that?
Nice.
All right, lines are open, 904-222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll take one more break. We're going to come back and we'll play another game of Here's What Happened, What Do You Think About It? And pretty much anything else that comes along. Trivia questions still there. It'll be a fun-filled last quarter of the show. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a couple of calls that came in during the break, so we'll get right to them. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. What's happening?
Two quick questions. The first one, don't think me crazy, but I heard something on this radio station earlier this week. Is something changing with Medicare that it's going to be optional? Or did I hear something incorrectly?
I think you heard something incorrectly.
Okay, I figured as much, but I just said I can't believe that, but I need to get an answer. So.
Now, I think the whole system is very dependent on the mandatory usage of it. You got to do the law of large numbers to have any kind of success in an insurance arena of that magnitude. So if it changes, if I hear anything, well, certainly bring it to everybody's attention. But it's nothing Adam and I have had any indication of. So
maybe All right, no
it could
problem.
Have been an
the
idea.
Second, the second one is closer to home.
Yeah.
I'm going to retire pretty soon from the city of Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a choice between a lump sum or a pension. I know my Social Security will be reduced because of my pension, because mm-hmm. of the windfall elimination provision.
Right.
If I take the lump sum, will that reduction still take place?
Ooh. That's a really good question. Off the top of my head, I'd say the tax man would see right through that, and it would probably apply, but I can certainly try to do some research on it.
I figured he wouldn't let me get by with that loophole, but I thought I would ask. So.
I have never found an arena where they weren't already on it.
Yeah.
Or the same day I saw it, it was passing through Congress or something like that. So it would be very surprising. Are you leaning one way or the other?
Yes, I am.
What are you going to do, looking at the cash?
I'm leaning toward the lump sum.
Okay.
If I take the pension, there is a death benefit for my spouse, but mm-hmm. if we both die in a plane crash the day after I take the pension, my children get nothing.
That's correct.
Yeah, that is very true.
So
there are some
like
things you can do about that. You can use some of the money to buy a big life insurance policy. The proceeds would go to them. There's some planning techniques you can use that way, but only if it sounds good to you. If you ever want to talk about something like that, you can come and see us at the office for an hour. Don't charge anything, and we can walk you through some of the particulars, too.
Yeah, I definitely will do that.
Yeah, just look it up on VanWeeFinancial.com, and you can schedule right from there. We'd love to see you.
All right, we'll investigate that Social Security question.
We will.
We'll do. About the lump sum, and you'll maybe inform me of that when I come see you.
Okay,
yeah, I promise to have an answer next week on the radio as well.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Did you want to take a quick shot at the trivia?
Well, I just heard the one guy. I haven't been listening all morning. I heard the one guy say 2.5%.
Yeah, then we had another one in at 6.
Six, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 5.
It was higher.
It was 2. 6 was too low.
Yeah, higher than 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was a bracket. Okay.
Which means, by the way, that it's more than 7 because I'm taking it within 1.
That's true.
So you want to shoot one out?
8.
Good guess. Too low.
Still too low. Okay.
Which means it's not 9 either.
God bless America.
You got that
exactly.
Right. Thank you. We'll let you know next week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Rob.
Larry.
Yes, quick guess. Won't burn time.
Go for it.
13%.
Too high, I believe.
Let me make sure.
Yeah, it is.
It is just, it is too high.
Okay.
But
Illuminati.
Darn good guess, and now we do have a brand. Take care. Thanks for the call.
Later.
Leroy.
Yes, sir. 10%.
Too low.
You know
I
what?
Believe.
That's too low. Okay, anybody out there listening to what just happened? I think the next caller might nail
it's
this
a,
one
it's
shut.
A possibility.
I would think so. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
That's pretty funny. I've seen that happen before when it was bracketed like that, but not very often. All right, you want to hit me a couple of questions? We had so much fun last week.
For sure. But first, I found a quote that I really like this week, and it's because it kind of mirrors something that I always say. And whenever the media and everyone is saying that something is going to happen, what do I always tell you?
That it won't happen.
That is exactly what is not going to happen. Exactly. And there is a motivational speaker and the founder of Farrell's Ice Cream. His name was Robert Farrell, Bob Farrell. And he had a quote that was in a random email I received this week. It said, when all the experts and forecasts agree, something else is going to happen. So I like this guy. He thinks exactly like I do.
Well, that's a definition of smart, isn't it?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So, all right, here we go. So things that happen for the week, good for the market, bad for the market. I think we're now up to somewhere around 100 whistleblowers. Is that about right?
it's a moving target.
I mean, it's pretty crazy. Do you think this adds credibility to the whole thing or takes away?
Oh, there's absolutely no assistance from this. It gets worse and worse for Adam Schiff, so it makes me happier and happier. It's not going to hurt the market one little bit. All right, we have a call. Ron.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. You think you might be able to get this?
This is a toughie.
Do your best.
We'll give it a shot at 11%.
Ding, 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 ding.
Got it.
We have a winner. The actual number, this is kind of strange, it's 11.8. So the rounding had a little something to do with it because people were guessing whole numbers. But, yes, you did get it. So in 18 months, it's 10.8% actually. But for 2 years, it's 16.3. Now, you could, as I said earlier, you can pick 2 points over the last couple years, and you can actually see that we've been range trading that whole time. My prediction is if this China deal doesn't get weirdo on everybody, that we're going to see new highs, which will extend the current bull market even longer, and then you're going to see some honest-to-goodness action. That is my forecast. You can bank on it if you want to. I wouldn't.
Right.
We appreciate it. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your name and address and send a prize out to you.
Thank you so much, sir. You have a great day. I enjoy your show every week.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling. Here's an old friend. It's Captain Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, you were talking about FICO and Experian and stuff, mm-hmm. scores. My score goes up and down 25 points a week.
You must have some strange spending habits.
No, it's really weird. It's like... It goes between 775 and 800.
Yeah.
And if I cross that 3% threshold, you know, because I run a standing balance, so I pay my credit card every month, mm-hmm. but I run 4,000 or 5,000 a month through it. So if I go over that certain 3%, then it goes down 20 points.
It can be the timing on your
goes back up. Now, yeah. That's credit karma, which is kind of soft. You know, it's not really a hard inquiry, but
right. But I think it's pretty accurate, though.
It
carry you along.
You know, you get the arrow pointing down, your score went down 23, you know.
Yeah.
You and then today I looked at it was 801, and it's, oh, yeah, you're under 3% of your available credit and all that.
Yeah, the good news is that above 760 or 770, nobody cares.
That's
except
nobody
you
cares.
And me.
No, yeah. But, you know, it's funny, a FICO score, to be honest with you, is something that Dave Ramsey says. It proves you're a good little slave and you pay your bills.
That's exactly right. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wonder if more people should try it. More people.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You take care of yourself.
Okay, bye.
I wonder if my score does. I use the same strategy. I put everything on the card, pay it off every month. So I wonder if mine bounces around that much. I've never paid close attention.
My big one comes in on the 28th. And if I can get that paid off before the end of the month, they report at the end of the month, and then I look really good.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes in a short month, for instance, you might not get it actually paid by the end of the month. There's just all kinds of goofy little things about the FICO scores.
But that's funny. Eh,
there's, like I said, if you're above a certain level anyway, I'm the only person I know that has ever pulled it one day and saw that it was 850, which is the maximum.
Nice.
It bounces between that and a lower number, but all it says to everybody is he pays his bills.
All right.
We already knew that.
Back to the lightning round. The NBA allowing China to dictate its social media policy. What do you think about that?
Stock market, no effect.
Do you think it has any effect on the China deal? Because this is really highlighting some of the pretty poor human rights practices and things like that that China is definitely involved with.
We as a country have been ignoring pretty much the whole Hong Kong deal that led to the NBA thing, too. I think we're trying to keep that out of the politics and economics. Will we be successful? I don't know. My personal feeling is that the Hong Kong thing has to settle pretty soon. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Gee.
My worry about the NBA deal is that it's bringing it to the forefront, and that is not a good thing for these negotiations.
The less said, the better.
Correct.
Let them work it out. One more quick one. We've got 25 seconds.
Sure. Trump's policy on Turkey and Syria.
I think most of us are at the point where we're willing to just say, the status quo is unacceptable. Let's try something new. Ultimately, I think it's a non-issue at this point for the market. Only for the market.
Yeah, for
not
the market.
For the politics.
Right.
All right, we've got to go. See you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.